Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whoever you are, this is Carbon Global Voices, your host, Ivo Henry, alongside Cardinal Mills, our host. And of course, folks, we're going to be here with you until high noon in our neck of the woods. That's 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Well, I want to greet you with the first episode of the month of August. A bit of said bye-bye to the July month, and with that, we are going to wish all who are celebrating birthdays, anniversaries, and what have you in this month, from the very beginning and the onset, we want to wish you all the very best. Today is August 6th, and the month is already running really, really speedily along, and with that, we are going to say... And then we'll have sports in brief at the top of the hour. Of course, Cardinal comes in to greet his special fans. And, of course, we will have birthdays, anniversaries, and historical notes with events that would have taken place on this date. We expect to hear from Dawn and Debbie. They come in at 10:45. Cardinal will have a commentary for you. And, of course, we'll have lots to really, really see. Speak about, you know, think it's the Nevis just had their federal election. The results are in, so we'll really spend some time on that. And as we go along, we'll do some housekeeping and we'll tell you what we expect to really, really be speaking about, because we think it's Jamaica is having their Deval, and there's the Reggae Summer Splash, that is, Culturama. Just finished over there in Nevis. Antigua, their carnival would have just finished, as well as Anguilla as well. So we will really touch on some of those. We will speak about emancipation as well. And we want to know, what do you really, really think about celebrations of emancipation as well? Well, again, we want to say good morning to everyone who is under the sound of my voice, your host, Ivor Henry. And in sport, let me tell you, well, there should be cricket in my neck of the woods. It should have been there, but, you know, Judy calls here, and I'm going to give this top priority, is that we have other able bodies there, and they can lend their voice to the commentary. Well, folks, without any further ado, we don't have our prayer warriors with us this morning. Normally we have Sister Barbara, we have Sister Kathleen, we have Sister Mertrice, but they're all unavailable this morning. Maybe I can try to do a little something. You know, once you can feel the spirit of God, you can just really come up with something. Once you're doing it from the heart. So let's give God thanks this morning and say, well, we know you're the God of creation and you are full of might and power, wisdom and love. And we just have to say and ask the question, how great thou art. Well, we know you're bigger than life. You're bigger than anything in this world. And we would take knowledge of your creative power because we would have realized that you would have created another day, and we give you mercies. And we also ask that you restore life in us, and the life that we ask to have more abundantly, we really, really are not deserving of such, but because you are such a merciful God, you will always come to the fore. Well, this morning, Father, yes, you have given us breath, and we are praying that you would take us through another day, this day that it lies before us. We want to make it productive. And, of course, for those who are traveling, of course, we always pray for traveling mercies for them. I mentioned, I think it's in Nevis. Let's hope that there's not turmoil. Government has been changed. It's not been toppled. There was, free and fair elections, and the people would have lent their voices and their exes, and the government has been changed. That we'll speak about a little some more in the show. But for now, we're saying watch over those folks over there, and let's hope that they'll have a peaceful transition of the power. So, well, Father, you know, on our own, we know we cannot do anything, but in your strength, we know we can do a whole lot of things. So, of course, for those who are driving, for those who are flying, let us ask God, you, to be the pilot. We become the co-pilot. And with that, again, we're going to pray for the sick. We're going to pray for the shutting. We're going to pray for those who really do believe in you. And for those who are not really believing in you, let them know that there is a higher power. We know him to be Jesus, the Son of God. We know him. Some say hallelujah, some say Jah, some say Jehovah. Whatever name you've been called by, let us know that you know our motive. Well, for that, bless the show. Let's hope that you do not have any hiccup along the way. And with that, I am going to say good morning again to all of the folks out there. Stick and stay. Remember, you too can be a part of the show, 563-999-3693. And with that, I'll say amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus.
7-2-1, over there in St. Martin's. She's not going to forget that. And again, for those who claim the cash-free 7-1, that's a good number. And Cardinal, you did not say anything about 7-1. That's July 21st. That's a good number. 7 is always a good number. So pump the music, Cardinal. It's all yours. Again, folks, we want to welcome you to the Caribbean Global Voices. This is the Saturday Morning Entertainment Show. Of course, we ask you to stay tuned. We ask you to lend your voice, 563-999-3693.
Let me introduce the fans to something nostalgic from the Mighty Chopper. Hymns of My Parents, listen up.
My father, Isaac Liverpool, and my mother, Edwardine Bartholomew, used to sing many songs and sang keys. So often that I learnt them all. A little more oil in the lamp, keep it burning. A little more oil in the lamp, I pray. A little more oil in the lamp, keep it burning. Keep it burning till the break of day. When he walked home from the garden, with all his beans and his corn, under the stress and load of the day, oh, he would sing. And there was I, listening to him, and hear him. I am a warrior out in the field, and I can sing, and I can shout, and I can tell it all about that Jesus died for me. When I get over yonder in that happy paradise, when I get over yonder in the field. And on a Sunday morning, we would walk to my aunt in Bethel. And when she would be making a pea soup, and she would be singing while the pea soup boiling, oh, what sweet voices between my father and herself. While I yearn for the pea soup, and she sang, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrow, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. It makes the wounded spirit whole and calm the troubled breast. His manner to to bed at night, and he said his prayer. He must sing, even though he sang a very long prayer. He gave God thanks for the day in this manner. I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must have his presence near me, and his arms around me though, then my soul shall fear no ill. Let him lead me where he will. I will go without a murmur, and his footsteps follow still. Oh, he suffered from high blood pressure. And when the nausea took him, he never gave up. He even gave God thanks for the illness, singing all the time. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fortress of glory divine. Yeah, of salvation, purchased of love, born of the Spirit, washed in his blood.
is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. But my mother was a Catholic. And when he sang his Baptist hymns and sankeys, she would counter him with a Catholic hymn. And so she was trying to shut him up. But she sang with a beautiful and sweet voice. And she sang, oh, come to the throne of grace. Oh, come to the heart most pure. To marry your hope of life. In whom salvation is sure. Or his good friends died. Sometimes he didn't go to the funeral, but he stayed home and he sang. He was at the funeral in the spirit. Shall we ever all meet again? Shall we ever all meet again? On that great judgment morning, when the book shall be opened and the name shall be called. Oh, how sad it will be when I take my departure and I turn away from heaven for not serving my Lord. And when he had no money and he was depressed, or he won nothing in the sweepstakes, and poverty stared him in his face, oh, he turned to the God, to his God, and he sang. Love lifted him. I was singing deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply then within, thinking to rise no more, no more. But the monster on the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else can help. Love lifted me, Born, Uriel, Jean, Cynthia, Constantine, and my mother would teach us.
Soft as the voice of an angel, breathing a lesson unheard. Hope with a gentle persuasion, whispers her comforting word. Wait till the darkness is over. Wait till the tempest is done. Hope for the sunshine tomorrow after the shower is gone.
And before we went to bed, in the darkness of night, cool night, my mother would teach us, I said it was a prayer before we went to sleep.
In the evening,
by the moonlight,
you could hear us dummies singing. In the evening, by the moonlight, you could hear the banjo ringing. How the old folks would enjoy it, they would sit all night and listen as we sang.
That is the mighty Topless, Alex Liverpool, clan out of TNT, Trinidad and Tobago. He's so versatile. He would have won so many crowns in the Calypso competition arena down there in Trinidad, in the Savannah. And now he's lending his voice here to the Saturday morning entertainment show, especially in the inspirational portion. I want to say a special good morning to one of my favorite ladies in this whole wide world. Donna B, good morning. You're over there in New York City, a city that is so big they just had to name it twice. New York, New York. Let me say all hail to two never-ending dying friends, Matrice and Lynette. We want to say good morning to them. Matrice is with us, but she's going to be leaving us shortly. Yeah, she was with us. He had an appointment, so much as we are with you, we know you're with us in spirit, if nothing else. And over there in Atlanta, I just heard from Barbara, my fiance, and my favorite niece now, Angela. She is down in Atlanta visiting Barbara, doing some last-minute trimmings, and if that's something to do. I would believe with September 3rd, it seems as if September 3rd is going to be a big day. That's Leon's birth month, so anything in September. And, well, it's a big month for me, too. My mother was born in September. I had Whitney in September, Ciara in September. Daddy B is in September. We have so many. The final October is running a distant third at this time. That's all I could say. But, folks, you are into the inspirational portion, and the music you're enjoying is selected by Cardinal Mills. And if you were born anytime before the 70s, you grew up on those songs that our parents really introduced us to. And trust me, I was clapping and singing and going along. And when the song Soft, what's the name of it? The title, Voice of an Angel, I remember Zion, New River School. First time I heard that song was in New River School, primary school. I remember that very, very well. So, what some memories there. So, again, folks, you can join us anytime you feel like at 563-999-3693. And for those who are not with us, we just ask you to tell your neighbors, tell your friends that we're here. We're here to entertain you. We're here to keep you company. And we do not take your presence lightly because you could be doing a whole lot of other things. For instance, we have folks coming out of Southern California coming in their PJs. That PJs mean pajamas. I want to say hello and good morning to you, Mr. Dennis. And we're going to have some great news for you coming out of St. Peter's and Nevis. As far as I am concerned, in my opinion, I didn't get the letter, the lotto, I didn't hit the numbers, but I hit one number, right? the change of government. We talk about that. But Canon has got another good song for you right about now.
Yeah, Ivor. What's more inspirational to people who need inspiration than the thought of heaven? Here's Brian Adams talking to you about this.
Show. Of course, we are into the inspirational portion. Morning, we go up until 10 o'clock. As a matter of fact, we're going up the hill. We've just gone past the bottom of the hour, so we still have a little way to go, and we're going to labor up the hill because we want to stay a little while yet. The inspirational portion. Once again, we want to ask you to tell your neighbors and tell your friends, 563-999, that's 999-369-9999, 9-3. Take a note. We ask you to give a call. You can have your say, even in the inspirational portion as well, because you might very well want to praise God, the one who is most high. It doesn't have to be anything religious, but if you care to, we soften the tone here in the morning. Again, do not take your presence lightly, because you could have been doing a whole lot of other things. You could have been going to the market to butcher a pig, or ringing that cock that makes a bunch of noise in the morning in your ear, sometimes on the show. But you chose to be here, and for that we are grateful. No sense, no need for us to be speaking to ourselves. From Linda Randall with that of Carlin Davis. Carlin Davis just sang that version for you, so maybe we can get Linda Randall to come with that one, Cardinal. How about that for you?
Yeah, of course.
One day.
There you go, Cardinal.
Help me believe in what I could be and all that I am. Show me the way that I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do.
I know to do two things at a time is too smart. He wanted to live 2 days at a time. But we know you just take one day at a time. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you walk a 1,000-mile journey? One step at a time. So in this life, we have one life to live, and we are going to live it. And again, you are spending some time with us here on the Saturday Morning Entertainment Show, Caribbean Global Voices. We appreciate your company. And for those who are not listening to us live, we urge you to get into the archive. We'll post it there for you, and you can enjoy it. Enjoy the rerun. But for now, we're going up the hill to 10 o'clock when we will have sports. Don't forget, West Indies take on the might of the Indians. They are in town here at this beautiful city in Lauderhill, and that cricket starts shortly. Barring rain, we are under cloudy skies here. Again, I should be there, but what better place to be than to be here early in the morning to bring you some entertainment. So later, I'll lend my voice there in the arena. But for now, duty calls, and I'm not going to let my fans down for 2 days out of the year where I give away a whole Saturday here. We're here to please the fans. My word is my bond. Cardinal, playing the music for you.
Yeah, Ivan, let's talk a little bit with Bonnie Wheeler, who inspires us to share that which we have learned. He says, pass it on. Bonnie Wheeler, I should say, the Wheeling Wheelers. Of Marley, Bonnie Wheeler, people. Here they are.
Watch your hands do. It's your own eyes that see. So won't you judge your actions to make sure the results are clean? It's your own conscience that is gonna remind you that it's your heart and nobody else's that is gonna judge. Be not selfish in your doing. Brothers in their need, pass it on. Live for yourself, if you will live in vain. Live for others, you will live again. In the kingdom of Jah, man shall reign. Pass it on. Pass it on. Pass it on. Pass it on.
What's in the darkness must be revealed to light. We're not here to judge what's good from bad, but to do the things that are right. On a hot sunny day, under the shadows for rescue. But as the day grows old, I know who the sun is gonna find you.
Be not selfish in your doing. Pass it on.
Pass on the love, pass on the word that we are here. And of course, we're here every Saturday morning to bring you some entertainment. And of course, we're rolling up the hill to We're not rolling down the hill. We're rolling up the hill to 10 o'clock because we're laboring to get there. And I'm happy that we're laboring to get there. I do not wish to get there in a hurry because I'm enjoying the selection being played there. Compliments Mr. Cardinal Miltz. And of course, folks, I hope that you too are just singing along and we're going to pass it on and passing it along. The great late Bunny Wailer of the Bob Marley and the Bunny Wailer fame, he would have contributed this morning. So here we go. We're getting ready to round it up. And don't forget, we're having sports in brief at the top of the hour. Stand by, folks. So it is specially dedicated to the Leon Francis.
Shoulders, you raise me up to more.
song specially dedicated for Mr. Lynn Francis. You know, the first time I heard the song, it was from the cricket show when Mr. Lynn Francis would have played that song, to be honest with you. And God on the Mountain, that's another one of his favorites. So I always remember him when I hear that song. Well, folks, we're going to be taking you out of the inspirational portion with this one. So stand by for Sports in Brief.
I'm going to get to the last one, Ivor.
Yeah.
Ram Smorgon. People like you.
Yeah. Nice. Lovely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you give a little more than you take, and if you try to fix more than you break, if you're the kind who takes the time to help a stranger in the rain, there's a place for people like you. If you stand up for those down on their knees and lend a voice to those who cannot speak, if you shine a little light, give sight to the ones who've lost their way, there's a place for people like you. I've heard up there the streets are made of gold, and when you get there, there's a hand to hold. When your days down here are through, there's a place up there for people like you. If you walk around with your heart on your sleeve, and if you're trying to be the change you wanna see, if you lay down your life for love so someone could be saved, there's a place for people like you. I've heard up there the trees are made of gold, and when you get there, there's a hand to hold. I believe when your days down here are through, there's a place up there for people like you. Selection there for you.
1 hour would have come and gone by very, very quickly. We're glad you stayed. We hope you will continue to stay. Still have another 2 hours to go. You can stay.
Sri Lanka shared their test series 1-1
And you know, this is what I find disturbing about these two test series, you know, between, you know, teams like Pakistan and Sri Lanka, that we felt that we wanted more. We wanted to see this, to see it go the distance, you know, because Pakistan won the first test.
Okay.
And Sri Lanka came back with a resounding victory in the second test, giving Pakistan beating Pakistan by an inning and 246 runs. So, you know, we would have liked to see that competition continue. I don't know whose interest is being served by, you know, this two tests and three test series. But we saw a battle going on, and we would have liked, the cricket, real cricket fans would have liked to see more of that. But I guess you're going to hear the commentary on that on the cricket show tomorrow. Comes on at 6 o'clock all the way to 9 o'clock in the evening. That's it for my contribution to the cricket commentary, Ivan.
Yes, well, if ever there was measurements to be taken, we know this is real, a boxer short. Well, I said brief. Let's bring it down to sporting. Let's say boxer short. It's the entertainment show, folks. And we're going to get it in full force tomorrow when the heavyweight comes in tomorrow, Cardinal. You're saying something? Go ahead.
Man, that is, you gone out way out of bounds talking about boxer shots. These look like G-strings, man. Thongs.
This is, that's how brief it is. But we're going to get it in full force at our sister section tomorrow, the cricket show, when the heavyweight comes in, Leon Francis and the Dennis. They're coming with some heat tomorrow. And by the time they would have bring the show tomorrow, India would have long gone out of here as losers, losing the series to West Indies. But don't take my word for it. Listen in tomorrow. Listen up to the cricket show from 6 until 9. Cardinal, you have some special fans to greet. We're going to do it quick, fast, and in a hurry. And go straight into birthdays, because Dawn and Debbie are going to be here, and they're going to be speaking a few things, and they're going to be bringing up some stuff for Leon as well. And we know Leon is going through some things, we all do, but Leon is in a mourning period at this time. He would have lost his brother, and Don and Debbie are going to be in, and I'm sure they will spend some time at that as well. So we're going to do it quick, fast, and in a hurry. Greet your fans, and we go into birthdays right after that.
Yes, of
I just
course.
Introduced the birthday song.
Of course, because like we always like to acknowledge, the special fans bring us their commentary one way or another, and, you know, inviting us or giving us the roadmap to make this show better for all of the fans. So thank you, special fans. And so to greet you, I'm going to start up in New York and say good morning to Mertris, Ina, Donna, Sharon, and Lady Bosby Nisbet. Hoping that you're having a great day today. It's been a great summer so far. You know, lovely heat, if you can stand it. Let me move on to St. Martin, where I'm going to say good morning to Irma Thompson. Irma is not really thrilled at this time. She missed out on Culturama, Iva, so she's not too thrilled, and she thought that, well, I can't make it today. But I'm sure she's having second thoughts now. I don't know how great Culturama went, but Alma being from St. Martin, you know, she likes to party. So, like the St. Martin. So she missed out on this one. Anyway, cheer up, Alma. It's going to be coming around again, because you're listening right now to the Saturday Morning Entertainment Show. And it does get exciting, doesn't it? If it weren't, you wouldn't be our special friend. Good morning, Alma. Good morning, Carlos. Carlos is vacationing as well. Carlos is hanging out up there on the mainland. I'm moving from one state to the next. I can't put a finger on him. He's in Rhode Island and Long Island and all over the place. Good morning, Carlos. Hoping that you're having a great time with your family on your vacation. Good morning to the people over in St. Kitts. And I want to say good morning to Lynette, even if she's not in St. Kitts. Because, you know, her exciting moment happened last night when the elections came up. You know, Ivan Lee and Lynette like to talk about you think it's politics. So I would have wanted to know what her excitement would have been this morning. How she would have come out of her duo with a long face. But she'll tell us. Good morning to the people over in Nevis. Well, they were enjoying the elections as well, somehow participated in it. And maybe they didn't have too much of a long face about, maybe this swill of Culturama is still with them. So something happened. I hope they wake up in time, though, to get out there and cast their vote. But well, if they didn't, they're going to have to wait till next time because it's over. And so the winners win, the losers will lose, and they will go back home and polish up for the next election. That's what politicians do. But good morning to Mr. Renford Doar and his staff over there at 2020 Vision Radio, and to Carmen Lady C. Griffin in particular. Good morning to you. I'm going to say
and she's first, having a birthday today, Cardinal. Carmen Lady C. So don't forget that. Today is her birthday.
Oh, what?
I'm going to try to get her, as a matter of fact. Yes.
Okay. Good. Well, happy birthday, Carmen. I don't want to know. I know Carmen as a baby. So I don't want to know, and I'm going to say it right here. I don't know what her numbers are, but happy birthday. I'm going to just say happy
her number is unlisted, Cardinal.
Her number is unlisted. Good. Keep it that way, Carmen. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go on up to the UK, where I'm going to say good morning to Omel. And Omel, as I told you, missed out on Culturama, and she's smarting about that as well. I don't think she was really ready to go back. She was in the mood for a long vacation over there in the sunny, beautiful island of Nevis. But, you know, situations forced her back into the UK, where I understand it got a little bit cool yesterday, Ivor, or at least the day before. Or was it yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
They were enjoying some summer weather in England. Can you imagine that? So Lynette,
yes.
I got to say morning to Lynette again. Lynette was basking in the sun a few days ago, enjoying her new family. Her son just got married, and that's why she went over there. So she's enjoying her new family. She is enjoying the presence and company of her new daughter. And she's having all that fun. Anyway, she was laying back in the sunshine and enjoying it. But now she got to deal with a little chill. She's going to come back again. Enjoy it, whatever it is, Lynette, and hope that you're not smarting about whatever happened in St. Kitts. When you come back, you join the fun and you laugh with everybody. You laugh with the winners, even if you're a loser. I don't know. You're going to tell me. I'm going to step across the channel where I'm going to say good morning to the people over in Fort Lauderdale, particularly to Elimat, King Elimat, that is. And he's missing out on all of this music, this fancy music, Caribbean celebration that's going on right now. You know, because, you know, it's crap over in Barbados, Culturama in Nevis, Carnival in Anguilla and Antigua, Sunsplash, Reggae Sunsplash in Jamaica. I haven't heard about that for a while now. And Jamaica is also celebrating its independence today, if you can call it that. Because, you know, me, I don't call it that. I don't know what it is. But that's what they have recorded in their historical notes, that they're celebrating their independence today. Became independent on August 6th, 1962. Okay. Ah, but I got to say, my condolences, Jamaica. Independence lost. Cool. Let me go down to Southwest now and say good morning to Jerome Cutner Richardson, who comes to you by way of Sandy Point. I know that Cutner must be smarting, regardless of what the election results, because Cutner always wanted secession of Sandy Point. Cutner always tells us he wants Sandy Point to secede, and to be joined with Nevis. That's Cutner's word. So Cutner, whatever happens, man, it's going to come along. We're going to work on it. Hoping that you are having a great day today as well. I'm going to go on up to Georgia and we'll say good morning to Monique, Yvette, Barbara. And I don't even know if they're in Georgia because they went all the way over to Nevis as well to enjoy the summer festival. They got to be a part of it. So wherever you are this time, I'm hoping that you're having a great time. But I know you're also listening to the entertainment show. So you would be having a great time. Enjoy. I'm going to say to my sister Yvonne, wherever you are, still sending me jokes, still keeping me smiling, so I don't even know if it matters, because I know you have a great smile on your face, and you're going to share that. Good morning to you, Yvonne. Float well. Stay smiling. Good morning to Kathleen. The inspirational shows favorite listener. Hoping that you're having a great time. Back to you, Ivor. Oh, I now got to serve up my information on the birthdays, anniversaries, and historical notes, the compliments of Mr. Audley Watson. Today is August 6th, the 218th day of 2022. The birthdays out of New Zealand is a cricketer. Simon Doole is a commentator. Jesse Ryder, former test player for New Zealand. Out of Pakistan, you have Iqbal Kasim. Out of South Africa, Norman Gordon. Out of India, Priya Punia. She's a female cricketer. Out of England, Vince Wells. And female cricketer Lydia Greenaway. Australia, Tony Bell. Out of Sri Lanka, P.L. Wettunja. And Nuwan Thusara. Out of Hong Kong, Scott McKenzie. Out of Botswana, Yorub Masuria. And out of Croatia, Daniel Marsik. Oh, David Maitland. Oh, he's having a birthday today. I wonder if he's kind of celebrating. I just went to hang out. Spice, Jamaica's dance hall queen, actress and comedian Lucille Ball from the show I Love Lucy, actress Michelle Yeoh from the James Bond movie Tomorrow Never Dies, Leslie Ofram Jr., and actor Robert Mitchum, Bushra Maneka, wife of cricketer Imran Khan. She has a birthday today. David Robinson, the Admiral, NBA, former NBA player. Eleanor Roosevelt, Lady Eleanor, former First Lady. We remember her with fondness. You know, some people don't think that, me included, didn't think that she acted very much like a white woman. So, good. Happy birthday to Lady First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt. Dorian Hillwood, an African-American actor. An African-American composer, Dorothy Ashby. She's way back from the 1930s. Nana Blondell, also an actress. She's 36. And Alexander Fleming. That's the guy who saved your life, Ivor, because he invented penicillin. And you know you need a lot of that in the 70s. Okay. A few more pieces of notes. Now, in 1661, now here, imagine this. The Treaty of Hague sells Brazil. That's what they used to call, it New Holland. In 1661, by the Treaty of Hague, the Dutch Republic sells Brazil to the Portuguese for 63,000 tons of gold. What? I wonder where that money gone. Okay. I still like to find out. In 1890, the Auburn prison in New York executed the first person to be executed by the electric chair. His name was William Kemmler. He was convicted for murder.
In 1945, the Americans dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima in Japan, killing 80,000 people. That was August 6, 1945, killing 80,000 people as a direct result of the blast, and a further 60,000 or so from the fallout. That means people were dying even after the smoke had cleared and the dust had settled. People were still dying, and maybe people are still dying from that up to today. 3 days later, that would be August 9th. So see, since I wouldn't be talking to you on August 9th, I'm going to tell you what they do. They drop the second bomb, second atomic bomb, on Nagasaki, a further 40,000 people or so. Can you imagine that number of dead bodies in 3 days? And you won't want to call that barbaric. No, this was the culmination of the plan that was started out somewhere towards the end of the so-called Second World War, that was started out as the Manhattan Project, where they grouped up some scientists and said, how could we make a weapon of mass destruction? They didn't drop it on bomb on Germany, where the war started. They dropped it, and they dropped them on the Japanese. Because, you see, this was the time to show that the United States, the daughter of Britain, had grown up come the chief executive. Britain could no longer rule the waves anymore because the European wars had crippled it. All the money that he make out of Africa couldn't save it. So the Americans step forward and say, we're going to take the mantle from here, and we can show that we can be as brutal and as reckless and with as much disregard for human life as any one of our European compatriots. So they show that by dropping two bombs in Japan, one on Hiroshima, one on Nagasaki. And then to this day, America remains the chief executive of the white primacy regime to enforce it globally. Tell them I said that. In 1962, yes, I just said it earlier, Jamaica signed off the paper that says it got its independence. That independence is yet to materialize. It's still on paper. And in 1965, President Johnson signed the Voting Rights Act that outlawed literacy tests for voting. And you know who those literacy tests apply to? White people didn't have to submit the literacy tests. They got grandfathered in. A lot of them couldn't read or write, but they could vote. But black people whose schools they destroyed and who they drove out of these schools were submitted to a literacy test in order to vote. So there's a big deal about the Voting Rights Act. But there was somebody who said, you know, if voting was instrumental to the liberation of black people, it would be illegal. So say Saran. That's my thought, Ivan. And that's the historical notes. Happy birthdays and anniversary. Yeah. We got a lot of rivers to cross. A lot of hills to cross. Is that what Jimmy Cliff says, Ivan? Many rivers to cross. We can't find our way over.
can answer where we do you.
Yeah, that was Bonnie Wheeler asking, telling us about the crisis in society. Now, in the meantime, this couple over in Barbados, it's the kind of music that they've been having over there. Check me out.
Oh gosh, I'm Mr. A.
Pretty new, 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 pret
Just about now, we're supposed to be hearing from Debbie. They're doing some great charity work over there in Antigua, emanating from right here in the United States, and we are asking people to give a listen and offer a hand to help these two ambitious and hardworking young ladies empowered. But we're waiting on them. They're not in yet. I'm hoping that if they are in, they would remember to push that one so that we can know that they are in. In the meantime, Okay. You're back?
Yes, sir. Yes. Had an emergency call there that I had to take with a feeling quite well. I heard it on the other phone there. I didn't get a chance to get in there. That's a call with Social Security, as a matter of fact. You hold the fifth, the sixth. Let's just say you just hold the fourth. What about that? I was going to go to some higher numbers, but I might run into trouble calling numbers.
Okay.
Yes. Did you remember to say happy birthday to Miss Carmen Lady C? She did call me, and I was not able to get her to answer because I was on that line. Yeah, but
I did say happy birthday when I was greeting the special fans. So I'm glad she heard it.
Okay. Hey, good morning. Good morning. How are you doing? Oh, I am good, but you know what I'm going to do to you now and for you? Okay, hold on. I'm going to put you on the radio, and we're going to sing happy birthday for you. As a matter of fact, you hear Cardinal. He sent out some big greetings for you this morning. Cardinal, we have Lady C. Carmen on board here with us.
Carmen, good morning. Good morning.
Wait,
we get some feedback.
I'm getting the feedback. Yeah. I'm trying to just get it sorted out here. We can get it. Okay, let's try this one. No, there's two things that are someplace. Something is on over here. Open up. Where is it? Okay, I see what it is. Oh, I heard you on the wrong one there, Miss Carmen. Okay, is that better now?
She's not.
Okay,
is she hearing?
Yeah, can you hear?
I am hearing.
No, I'm not. Okay, yeah, now I can. Now I can. Well, happy birthday. And I was here explaining how I know you as a baby, so I would not want to I would not want anybody to know what your numbers are, because then that would give me away. Okay, so how are you? Just let the people hear your beautiful voice on the radio again and wish yourself happy birthday. I even didn't do it.
But I am good. I am having a good day so far. I give God thanks for bringing me to this milestone. I don't want to say what the milestone is. I guess people out there wouldn't be able to guess. But just for your sake, Cardinal, I wouldn't say, because then I'll be blowing you out of the water. And everybody will know your age as well, since you've known me from a child.
yes.
I just want to give God thanks for a new day, a new beginning. And I just wish myself a happy birthday today, and wish myself many more years.
I am wishing
you a happy birthday, and I know you didn't believe him when he said that I didn't wish you a happy birthday, because I informed him of your birthday. Then he got out of place and asking, how old are you?
what is your number? I said, your number is unlisted.
Okay.
He had an idea because he said he wasn't pampers in those days, so he was trying to say, how can I? He went on to say he put Adam's underwear on you and all kind of stuff. I asked him what that. He said a leaf.
he put on my baby.
Yeah. I asked him if he's pampers. He said no, he wasn't pampers in those days. He was Adam's underwear.
My hippie.
Yeah. And then they don't took you with some pins and so trying to put on diapers on you.
Yeah. those big bobby pins.
Yeah.
With the
legacy of 2020 fame, we want to say happy birthday, happy birthday for you. We're waiting on two ladies coming in here, Dawn and Debbie. They're doing some humanitarian work over there in Antigua and Barbuda. They normally come in. Right about now, I haven't seen them as yet, but I did get a message that they were going to be coming in. They had some other stuff, but I got a text this morning. Normally, they're in by now, but I haven't seen them as yet. So, in the meantime...
Well, thank you so much, Ivor, for giving me the opportunity to be at the radio show today. I just want to thank you ever so much. To your listening audience, I want to say thank you for listening and always being there on Ivor's show with Cardinal and the rest of the crew. I say thank you so very much, and I intend to enjoy the rest of my...
Okay, her call dropped. I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah,
I was
okay.
Yeah, I was going to tell us to go ahead and do it either way. Go ahead and make sure you take the whole of the month and not just the day. But just in case you were to listen to the real one, she will hear you. Wishing a Godspeed, Cardinal, so you can end it there. And I sure did get a message early in the week. Dawn and Debbie wanted to record something to send because they had some other engagement. But I got a message from Debbie saying that Dawn would be on, but it doesn't seem as if that is the case. They would have been here. That much I can say.
Well, as you well know, things don't always work out the way we would like. So we know that there's has to be some kind of important.
Now you're going to deal with the law now. What do you call that? Murphy's Law?
I don't know Murphy.
You don't know Murphy. Murphy has a law, man.
I don't know about this, man. I'm gonna be like Bernie. I'm gonna be like Bernie Mac in the movie that he played when they showed that the black man became a president and Bernie Mac was his national security advisor, something like that, some big cabinet post he had.
Uh-huh.
And the media got to Bernie Mac and asked him, "What do you think of NATO?" Meaning the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Bernie Mac said, "I don't know NATO, and I don't talk about things I don't know."
Well, Charles Brunson, he knows a whole lot about Murphy's Law. I sure you know he would have acted as a police detective there. Jack Murphy?
Mm.
That's Charles Brunson.
I don't know that Murphy. I don't know that Murphy.
Yeah.
If you tell me Murphy, then if you tell me Murphy is lawless, I still wouldn't know Murphy, but I would understand that.
Okay, you'll understand that. Well, he would have lost his wife. You'll know the story. Murphy's Law.
If you were to tell me Murphy was lawless, I would understand that, even if I don't know Murphy.
Yeah, well, Murphy let his score his killers. His killer's wife, man. He did school, man. You have to remember that Jack Murphy. He was a cop. Yeah, he was wanting to stay alive. Yes, and he even scored his wife's killer, man. What are you talking? You got to get to this. Get to the stuff, man. Murphy's Law. Well, somehow I don't think that Dawn and Debbie are going to make it. So, Colonel, you're going to do the honors here for them.
this morning. They have started that drive over there in Antigua and Barbuda, in where they're assisting the less fortunate ones over there on both islands, Antigua and Barbuda. And they have this, they have a soup kitchen and all the stuff over there, Antigua, and the bakery, Dawn, what is it, Dawn Bakery or something like that in Antigua. But nonetheless, with some additional help and some monetary contributions, they can do greater things and continue to doing the thing that they're doing. So I'll let you put it in perspective, Cardinal. That's your forte.
Well, Dawn and Debbie are doing something that really, you know, we have to be doing. And something that we really shouldn't have to do. Because the way I look at it, there are enough resources in this world to cover the cost of everyone's home, food, shelter, clothes, and medical care. You know, a trend towards human welfare. But it seems as if few people have the knack to say, this is what we need to do. So Dawn and Debbie have been forced, and they have undertaken that job of taking up the slack where, you know, our esteemed leaders have left out, where our social institutions have abandoned us, and we are left to struggle on our own in the midst of all of the crises that could befall us at any time. So they have taken up that effort, and I consider it a valiant effort to come forward, and starting with one small spot, Antigua, where they're from, they are stepping forward, a helping hand to those people who have found themselves in critically unfortunate circumstances. I commend them. I commend their effort. I commend their dedication. I commend their sense of humanity that they bring forward. And so we are always happy to accommodate them on this show, hoping that they could share that commitment to other people who would go forward and take their program to its heights. That doesn't happen, like I said, that doesn't happen often. We hear about here and there in little corners of the world, and sometimes the people who are involved in this kind of thing do get frustrated. They don't seem to be losing any energy. They come forward every Saturday and they pitch a program and asking the people out there to contribute to a most worthy cause. Thank you, Dawn and Debbie, for taking up the slack that the rest of us let go.
Hold on. Yes. Well, there it is. There we have it, Dawn and Debbie. I think we should just do them some justice here, to Cardinal, in getting a piece of the Michael Jackson, in case they would have go back in the archives and they would hear it. That's one of their specialty. Heal the world. So let us see if they want to. And after that, we'll get into some social events, and especially where the politics is concerned over there in St. Kitts. So right after that, we'll do that. We'll urge the folks to call in as well.
Think about the generations and the say we want to make it a better place for our children and our children's children so that they know it's a better world for them and think they can make it a better place.
There's a place in your heart and I know that it is love. Brighter than tomorrow, and if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. In this place, you feel there's no hurt or sorrow.
Played for Debbie and Dawn. They're doing some humanitarian work over there in Antigua and Barbuda. We remember, we didn't hear their voice today, but we still gave them that slot. Well, Colonel, we're going to be into the thick of things. We still have an hour to go, and we have a few things that we have to discuss here. We're now going to spend some time with the Tinkets and Nevis federal elections. But we can get some of the small things out of the way, Cardinal. Maybe you want to speak about the Reggae Sunsplash Carnival in Antigua and Anguilla, crop over in Barbados. We just had Culturama finishing over there with Nevis. And they thought of, well, let's say they're celebrating Emancipation Day or that period in that form. So we can have, we can debate that if you care to. Other stuff. But if you don't care to say that, we can just get your commentary out of the way. And personally, I like to talk about this.
Let's look at this first. The Caribbean Summer Festival. You know, we know that we grew up accustomed to the Caribbean kind of exploding around the summertime in fun and festivals. And it does so also at the end of the year in December when we celebrate Christmas, and everybody celebrates Christmas around the world. But we know that the summer in the Caribbean is a massive occasion of festival. And even if they do not have a full-blown carnival, there is something going on in each of the different islands that says something about emancipation. I should say something about celebration. Now, the upshot of this is that we've been told that these celebrations come out of the fact that particularly in the islands formerly controlled by Britain in their system of colonialism were granted what was called emancipation sometime around August 1st, 1834, and people celebrated that event, and that celebration continues up until today. Over in Jamaica, we used to have Reggae Sunsplash. I haven't heard of that for a while, and hopefully that it's still going on. In Barbados, you have crop over. You know what the crop is? It's sugar crop. In Nevis, you have Culturama, you know, and in Antigua and Anguilla, you have the regular carnival. Now, as I say, we've been told that these came out of a celebration of emancipation, but should have taken a departure from it. And we saw that departure when we noticed that Culturama appeared first as Culturama, which is a reclamation of an African a concept of reclaiming African culture to African people. And we saw how the music panned out, because after all, Calypso is African music. Calypso is always at the center of Carnival. Here are people reclaiming their culture, reclaiming their identity. Now, to do that in celebrating something that the British put in place, to me, is something of a, what is called an oxymoron. Oxymoron. Now, we cannot celebrate European instruments through the celebration of African culture. And that's why I use the word oxymoron. It's something that conflicts, that shouldn't do. And actually, we should not celebrate the instruments of our oppressors if you're going to celebrate your liberation. So, we've been told that this festival is a celebration of emancipation. Now, emancipation has nothing to do with our freedom, unless you want to define freedom in some strange way. And I guess that people do that in terms of when black people in particular, who have been subjected to the restraints of something called chattel slavery, and I'm saying chattel slavery to make it clear, black people were traded as items of property and instruments of commerce, property, chattel slavery, that people who have been subjected to such chattel slavery should celebrate an offering from their enslavers. That seemed to me to be something of a contradiction. So whereas we have been told that this is a celebration of emancipation, I doubt that very much. I think of it more of a celebration of African people looking towards reclaiming the cultural heritage, the ancestral identity, and the cultural identity. You know, as an opening for them to do that without celebrating the emancipation itself. Now, as I'm going to say, if you cannot enjoy, what measure of freedom was it? Would it be freedom that is a measure of modification of the terms and condition of slavery is a different to a measure of freedom that comes from an eradication, a total eradication of the terms of the system of slavery. And as you can see, as I define slavery, slavery is an arrangement by which one person or group aggregates the authority to dictate the social destiny of another person or group. Now, that arrangement has not been dismantled. Not here in the Caribbean. And that's why you hear me hesitate, Happy Independence Jamaica or Happy Independence St. Kitts Nevis or Happy Independence Antigua or anything like that. Now, we have a lady over in Barbados by the name of Mia Motley. And I think that she is talking about, right about now, she is talking about the independence of Barbados. And I think that she's also thinking about the independence of the Caribbean and Africa as a whole. You know, that has been attempted on several occasions, but the discussion did not remain in place. It faltered at some point. It faltered with the entrapment of Marcus Garvey. It faltered with the entrapment and dissolution of the plan, I should say the attack on the plan that Kwame Nkrumah had put in place in Africa. And the last time it faltered was when
Muammar Gaddafi attempted to reinstitute that plan that Kwame Nkrumah and Marcus Garvey earlier than him had attempted to reinstate the emphasis on the liberation of African people. Now, when that materializes, then we would have reason to celebrate, because that would be real freedom. That would be really independence. So far, we have the independence of African people in Haiti. That was again aborted to forces, to the same forces that enslaved our people. And we can see that Haiti has never caught itself from that. And so all you have to do, all that is happening now, is that we continue to exploit Haiti, to push it into the ground, to make sure that it never recovers. And we here in the Caribbean, we sit aside and we look at this, well, it's happening to the Haitians, it's not happening to us. That's not the posture of a liberated mind. And a liberated people must come from the frame of reference of a liberated mind. So, you know, when we think of Carnival and all that celebrating independence, we are tying ourselves down to a message that is not really true. And if when you get tied down by misinformation, you remain stagnant. We rather should think of Carnival as a celebration of our culture and our identity as human beings and as African people. That's my thought for that sector. Ivan, you coming in?
Yes.
Okay.
Just an update. There is rain at the Central Power Regional Stadium, so play has not started, but Puan would have called, right, and elected to field. West Indies, their team is unchanged. Like I said, these guys, just as long as you're breathing, they just go one way all the time. Sometimes you have to take your opponent by surprise. Here is it where India has made 3 changes, and they're up 2-1 in the series. So you're going to let them come and beat them into submission and then say, well, let's change the team now. You must have replacements and take the people by surprise. So make sure you have a good score of 15. But you can't go with the same thing, and you're losing more than you're winning. Just hope that one day, one of them going to catch a fire and say, okay, good. You see, I told you he was good. Like Sheho, fail, then it comes good. 100 match and 100, make 100, and they forget all the failures he had in between. That's one of what things don't fall to me. Badri did well up here, the leg spinner, made his debut up here. Why not just bring in Walsh and tell him, emulate the guy, open the bowling. Him, spinner's been doing well for us, but they're packing up with a bunch of medium pacers. Anyway. That's it. As far as I'm concerned, if play gets underway, we'll let you know. But inclement weather is at the park. I saw that early, and I said I'd rather be here conducting this thing with you, Cardinal. So
okay.
I would have been just sitting at the park, maybe getting an autograph, but you're not there to give me your autograph, neither. The heavyweights, none of the heavyweights are there to give me the autograph. So I think I made a right decision to stay put. Until later, after 12 weeks, if things go, I'll just head on up. Or just wait for tomorrow. Colonel, the politics and think it. That's my baby at this time. I remember Lynette over there in the UK, and she is out. You say whenever you see Lynette, you see her with her feet up. Back in the day, we used to stay in local plans. You would have seen her cocking up. Don't know. Don't know where would that take the conversation. But we hope her to call in and let us know, as you would have asked Kristen earlier this morning, whether she would have been laughing, dancing, or crying, or running for cover, or trying to get out of sync at the result, after the result been called. But for the folks who would not have heard, there's a new government in sync it. The Labour, Sink It's Nevis Labour Party, has returned to power. It was out for the past 7 years. And because of an early election, they were victorious yesterday, winning 6 of the 11 seats. So they have a thin majority, but nonetheless, that's what the Constitution calls for. A simple majority, and you are the, you can form the government. They would have 2 senators on their side to bolster their numbers. The opposition would have 1. So we're going to have 8-7 in the Senate. And, of course, they can have an outside attorney general who would have powers to talk in the House of Assembly. There are going to be a lot of changes. I do not think they're going to keep the speaker. He was a very biased guy, Mr. Perkins out of Nevis. And, well, before I get into that, Nevis would have returned 3 CCM, just as they did for the past 7 years. They have, well, as I said, for the past 2. Prior to that, they were having 2 out of the 3 seats in Nevis. But they had all 3 for the past 2 years, and they got nothing done in St. Kitts. Pam would have won only 1 seat. That is the leader of the People's Action Movement, Sean Richards. He won his seat. As a matter of fact, for the 5th consecutive time, he would have won his seat. The Prime Minister, former Prime Minister, and the leader of the People's Labour Party, that's PLP, Mr. Harris, he won his seat. It was a bit of scale there for him early on in when he would have lost a box here or there, and they were rubbing neck and neck until in the end, in Harris' style, he just blew everyone out of the waters. So, here we have it, folks. Labour, St. Kitts Nevis Labour Government, I beg your pardon, St. Kitts Nevis Labour Party would form the government, and I'm happy that they're having 1 party having the government. I do not so much like coalitions. They don't work, especially the last one when they had 3 parties. 2 don't work, never mind 3. Too many chiefs, too little Indians. So I'm going to hope that they really pull through on a lot of promises that they would have made. Everything can be done in 1 day, but they have a 5-year mandate to get through with a couple of things. I will be watching them for the first 100 days to see where they go from there. Hopefully, there's some money left in the treasury because the former prime minister was spending money like a drunken sailor. He had 3 elected members running the government for the past, say, 100 days or so. And he said they would have gotten more done than when he had all 9 people in the government, that's 7 senators, 7 elected members and 2 senators. And he said 3 of them, along with 2 senators, would have gotten more done than when they had 9. That is unbelievable. Well, she said 30 because they had 9 plus the attorney general and the senator. So, Colonel, I can come back, but if you want to say your congratulations or you don't want to say congratulations, your choice.
You know, I'm a Robert Mugabe fan. I don't congratulate politicians for doing what they're supposed to do. You know, people tend to
No, I'm asking the party. I wasn't really talking about.
Yeah, well, party politicians.
Let's start from that. Somebody has to rule.
It all falls in the same category. I'm saying, I don't congratulate people for doing what they're supposed to do. So, we've been asking our leaders
to do certain things over the years. From the moment I became conscious, became aware of what politics is and what politicians are supposed to do, I know that people have been asking politicians to do certain things. They are supposed to be the architects or the engineers for leadership in the development of our institutions, our economic institutions, or political institutions, or educational institutions, or health institutions. And we've been asking politicians to do that. And somehow, when they do something in a particular area, let's say they do something in health, they seem to think that they have the right to our accolades because they do what they are required to do. So I don't congratulate politicians on anything. You go in there and you do what you're supposed to do because that is what your mandate is all about. Now, the next thing that they do, they come out during the off season and they ignore you until the election season comes up, and then they're your friends again. They come and they give you a drink or they buy you a meal or something like that. And they're warm and nice to you at that point. They are your friends. And then the politicians not fulfilling their responsibility has become such a norm that when you find one that does something close to fulfilling his responsibility, he's treated like a god. And I don't go for such. The squabble that they entertain is nauseating, to say the least, because I cannot see how you're going to present yourself to me as a conscious and intelligent person who knows what is necessary for the development of a social construct, but you can't get together with someone else who also claims to be knowledgeable, conscious, and responsible without there being a fight, a squabble. So if all of you are interested in the development of a society and its institutions, what is preventing you from coming to a consensus as to the best program to pursue for that development? Which means that, hey, one way or another, you're not interested. And we know politicians already, and we say it about them, but you see, the thing is, we say it about the politician party we do not support, that he's selfish, that he's in it for his own pocket, that he's biased, that he disses people and things like that. But all of them do it. None is better than the other. I remember when I was a little boy in high school, and I think we just made it to high school, and Fitzroy Bryant came into the assembly hall, and he said that before the time, in those days, you have to go to St. Kitts to go to sixth form. And he stood up there and he said, time you get to fifth form, a sixth form would be in Nevis. That sixth form did not show up in Nevis until 1983. You know, students who were my students in elementary school were the first beneficiaries of that sixth form. And it was supposed to be there before I left high school. So I'm accustomed to politicians making offerings and not fulfilling what they offered. And I continue to see that trend throughout my entire life and awareness of political activity. So it's on that basis I say, you know, that I refuse to congratulate politicians for anything, including whether they win an election or not, because that is not what I'm looking forward to. That does not address the development of our health facilities, of our
educational facility, and so on and so forth, because there's always a squabble about what next to do. You know, you are the opposition. You oppose just because you are the opposition, and not because you have a reasonable, logical plan as to why this plan that is offered is not going to work. You just oppose it. And to me, that doesn't make any sense. But all of our so-called leaders are involved in that kind of childish, arrogant, you know, irresponsible behavior. So what am I going to congratulate them for? Nothing. Thanks for nothing. The squabble continues. And just like it was before this election was called, it's going to continue afterwards. That is my feeling, because that's what I have seen in my entire lifetime. That's my thought.
Okay, well, I'll go a little further than that to say there's a new sheriff in town, Dr. Drew. First time he's winning his seat, and he's going to be the fourth prime minister of the country. And I think congratulations should be in order. And we cannot go on the past what former politicians would do in order to say congratulations to the winning team. Now, I agree with you. We have to hope for the best. We have to hope that, let's see, Jay's supposed to be calling in here, so let's see if he's here with us. I would think so. 917-207. Is this Mr. Gerald Brown? Morning, sir.
Yes. Good morning.
Yes, well, you're in great company here, Mr. Cardinal Mills and others on the show. And I know that you would have heard of the result. Right now, we're speaking a little bit of politics over there in St. Kitts and Nevis. You know, there was a federal election that was held on the 5th day of August. And the jurors are in. I don't think they're out. Their findings would be that the Labour government, St. Kitts Nevis Labour government, would have won the government. And if you can break it down a little bit here, CCM over in Nevis, who contested, won all the 3 seats. They're 3, NRP is still. PAM 1 in St. Kitts, PLP 1. And to break it down, the leader of PLP, Mr. Harris, he won. The leader of People's Action Movement, Mr. Sean Richards, he won. And Labour took the other 6 seats. They took 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, and 8. They missed out on 5 and 7. Any congratulations or anything you have to say? I mean, you can have a say.
Well, I want to say congratulations to the Labour Party for running a spirited campaign. They articulated their message, and they got their people to the polls.
But you agree it was a low turnout in terms of, I listened up last night, and the registered voters that were there, oftentimes it was even less than half the folks who would have turned out to vote. You have any idea why the vote turnout would have been that low?
Well, these elections are happening very often, and there's a culture of malaise in the country. You know, people are tired, and that is my understanding. It's a situation where election fatigue is taking hold. I mean, more than 40% of the electorate did not show up to vote. And that is a tragedy.
Well, you
use the word
that I would have understood. Okay. I've seen people at the tarmac on the airport that some of the flights didn't get in. Think it's for one, and maybe the only one in the Caribbean, who still have this nonsense where you citizens and residents have to seek permission from the government to come to their hometown, their homeland. And I think they said the process was slow at times, where people are waiting for approval to come home, and it would take quite a bit of time before you can get an answer from the folks. We can call this a snap election, because the Prime Minister just gave them a little 21 days, and the Constitution affords expatriates, people who are not living on the islands, to come home and vote. So you still have to get travel time. You still have to have whether sick time, vacation time, but me time, whatever it is. So maybe that's going to come for some of the turnout. Why the turnout is so low. Then again, you have people at home, like you say, fatigue. I heard a politician said on the Washington, if you're not coming out to vote for CCM or for me, stay home. And I think a lot of people may have just listened to him too. But nonetheless, Colonel might want to chime in here. Colonel does not congratulate politicians. So just give you a heads up, since you're part of this debate at this time. He would have had his say right now. But Colonel, any addition? And then I have a few more people.
I'm thinking that Jay is onto something here. He used the term malaise or fatigue, the two terms that he used. And that is something I can agree with, because I think people are tired, you know. But people got to get beyond tired. They got to get to the point where they begin to demand that politicians submit to the demands of the people. But until the people create that communion by which they could make the demands on those who come to them to represent that we are leaders and we are capable of taking you somewhere. And this is the people who have to understand, where do we need to go? The people should have an understanding of where do we need to go. If you come into Miami Airport and you ask a taxi driver to take you to, you know, North Miami, and then he takes off and he takes you all the way down to Coral Gables to come back up to North Miami from the airport, you have no idea as to where he's going. He can always get you out of his car and say, well, that was a long drive and I charge you such and such. And I think that's what politicians rely on, that our people are blind to where we need to go, because we are so consumed with our own, you know, personal benefits that we're not looking around us to see what could benefit all of us. And so the politicians who is in the same way disposed is exploiting that and is taking advantage of that and is charging the electorate for being stupid, or I should say unconcerned or preoccupied with the individual self to the exclusion of the collective self. Politicians exploit that. And when people get up and congratulate politicians for doing that, it does not give them the incentive to do any better. So it's as a kind of like, you get what you pay for.
Okay. Well, I congratulate them on the winning. I'm not congratulating them for fixing nobody's road and those kind of stuff. I congratulate them if the economy is running fine, the people, you know, unemployment is up, they're bringing down the deficit. Yes, water, people have potable water and stuff, of course. But if you're paying the civil servant and collecting taxes and stuff, no, I'm not for that. But I congratulate them on a winning. Now, the performance now, when you're working, no, you're getting paid for your job. That's something different. So I'm agreeing with you. But let me get back to Jay. Being fatigued. Devious, election is due no later than, I think, February, March next year. Do you think it is time to have one election? When they're having the federal election, they have the Nevis local election. I'm going to give you another question. And do you think it is time for St. Kitts to have their own local government as Nevis have their own government. And then you have one federal, maybe overseer, what do you want to call him? I don't know. Prime Minister.
Well, here's my take on the situation. And, you know, this goes back to 1983, okay? When the Constitution was put together, Clause 113 was put in there like as a side deal. Now, whenever you have a country that's part of another country without having a clear government, it creates confusion. And my take is that the politicians who run St. Kitts and Nevis, they like confusion. Because if you ask 9 out of 10 people if they understand how the government is set up, they don't. Because it is a unitary state. You have a unitary state where it's the government of St. Kitts and Nevis, and then you have the island of Nevis. And wherever you have a situation like that, you're going to have confusion because there's no clear mandate of who is in charge. Now, St. Kitts should have their own government. Nevis should have their own government. And there should be some kind of federal structure in place. But the question is, politicians are attracted to what is easy for them to do, what is in their interest. You know, how do you get the interests of St. Kitts aligned with the interests of the Nevisians when St. Kitts and Nevis, the government, uses the entire population to market St. Kitts? They have that ability, but they have no ability, they have no interest in marketing Nevis as well, because they market St. Kitts and Nevis as one entity, but they get the bulk of whatever comes to them. Now, the question that we have to ask ourselves is, how do you get the interest of the politicians aligned with the people? Because right now they're not aligned. The politicians feel like they're gods, they're elected, and they do whatever they want. I mean, there was one quote that the prime ministers and the premiers in Nevis have more power than the president of the United States. These people walk around like gods in St. Kitts and Nevis. They can pretty much do whatever they want, and there's no consequence to that. And a lot of times, the reason is the Constitution is very vague on the powers that the prime ministers have. So they attract all the power to themselves. So the people are left like beggars. You know, you basically become a beggar as a voter. You take whatever they give to you, whatever crumbs they give to you. I mean, I'm hearing reports that people are getting $500 to vote, $1,000 to vote, $2,500 to vote. I mean, this is crazy. I mean,
let me interject, though. Do you know that it's a crime, and it's written in the Constitution? So the police are not doing their work. So that is not really allowed, but it's happening.
Well, look, when you have a politician that's involved in it, who is going to arrest the politician?
The police, that's what they're there for. The police have to do their work.
But here's the thing. The police is not a statutory body. The police is an attachment unto the government.
No, that's not true.
The Royal St. Kitts Police Force, the Royal St. Kitts Police Force of St. Kitts and Nevis, what is their budget? Tell me what their budget is. Because I don't know what their budget is. They get money from the government. The government pays their salaries.
Yes,
but the Royal St. Kitts Police Force was a statutory body. They would have a budget. They would have a director. They would have people who are responsible for the safety and security of the people of St. Kitts and Nevis. They wouldn't be attached to a ministry that can send the police here and send the police would be operating independently.
Let me just say something before I answer that. Let's kind of come.
Okay,
One second before you come to India. The match has started. India is 45 without loss. and they're in over number four. Yes, Sharma is on the go. He is on 27 from 13, two boundaries and two sixes. And we have Yadav, he's on 16 from 10, one boundary and a six. So they're playing the full allotted 20 overs, even though they would have started a little late. That's the latest. 45 without loss. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you let me a couple of things to discuss, to address. First of all, I think that you are somewhere on the verge of agreeing with me that...
Which you are?
You know,
you're talking about Jay?
No. I'm telling Jay. I say you are. I'm telling Jay. Based on his commentary, he's on the verge of agreeing with me to the extent that the people to whom the power should belong are not taking that power, and so they become beggars. Because they're not demanding that their politicians, you know, change the format. Because what? The people within themselves are trying to secure personal interests rather than to look out for the collective interests of the group. So when we are talking about the people, who are we talking about? So
absolutely.
What is happening here is that, as I said earlier, the politicians or whoever steps out and wants to be a politician exploit that weakness that the people have brought onto themselves by looking at personal interest. As far as the police force is concerned, the police force is not just whether it's a statutory body or not. There is a certain culture. There's a certain culture of corruption that pervades our society. Politicians submit to that culture. The police departments submit to that culture. You understand? So that is it. That is what at work. Our people submit to that culture. So it's not a matter of whether it becomes a statutory body or not. It's a matter of whether or not we are ready to dismantle that culture of corruption and come up with something new. That's the question. Are we ready? And can we step forward and do that? Because politicians use the tactic of divide and conquer all the time. The same thing that the British taught to us. We are drinking their Kool-Aid. All of us and our leaders. That's why we are in the mess that we are in, including all of the practices and activities that we go through from one day to the next.
Okay.
So how are we going to get out of this? Our politicians and the people who put them into office are caught in the same mire. The politicians, the ones who get ahead, are just the ones who are the beneficiaries, who are exploiting this weakness, who are exploiting this corruption, and then, well, as you say, walk around like gods, while we petty men peep about beneath their huge legs, serve dishonorable graves.
Well, there's only one solution. And
what is that?
It's a very, it's a daunting solution. We have to re-educate the population.
Exactly. But who's working on that?
I'm going to give you a small anecdote. I was speaking to a gentleman several weeks ago. And I said to him, I said, look, where is the bill that Mark tabled to require the government of St. Kitts and Nevis to equally share the government of Nevis, the revenues from whatever activities the government is involved in? The gentleman said to me, well, the people go into government, but they can't change any laws. You know, the laws are there. And I was flabbergasted that this gentleman didn't understand that you vote these politicians into office to actually change the laws, to benefit you. But there's a disconnect between what a politician can do and what they cannot do, because there's no education underlying that that person's, you know, that person's consciousness. They don't think that the government, people elected to function in a role that sets up laws that benefit the people, because they just think, you know, people get elected and they do whatever they want. So that is the prevailing.
We just have a few minutes here, and I want to comment on something you said, Jay. I don't know if it's corrected, but we have three branches of government. We have the judiciary, we have the executive, and of course, we have the legislative branches. Each of them have a different function. The police would come under the judiciary. The government, yes, the foreign policies make laws. The police carries those out independently of whoever is inside there. If they're not doing the work, tell me that. But it has nothing to do with, because you're the government and you murder somebody over there, they can't go and arrest you. They're peacemakers. They have a separate and apart job from any government or from anybody. No man is above the law. And that's really important, I can tell you that. Now, in all that we are saying here, that people are uneducated, they ought to know. They know. They're willful. That they're lying to you. They know that these guys go in there and make policies. They go in there and they do all kind of stuff. What the people need to know is that they are the servants of the people. What the Constitution need to have in there is a way to fire them. Don't wait for now 5 years after they mess up in there or for the premier or the prime minister to have that big stick to say he can fire. The public who gave them that job should be able to find a way to take it back. That's why they have to cross some T's and dot some I's in that constitution. You said it right. It is vague, but I would say it is flawed at best. It is flawed. It was hurriedly done. You started by saying 113 was put in there by NRP, Nevis, if you want to just cover it from Nevis, from the Nevis standpoint, to really give Nevis a leg up. But it should not be after 40 years to tell me that the only separation in this arrangement is for Nevis alone to say, I can go. Clause 113 only give Nevis to say, I want to separate and go my separate ways. But since it cannot separate from Nevis, how can that be fair in God? It can't be right. I in a marriage, the husband can marry, can call for the divorce as well as the daddy. That is fair. That is right. So people would see me talk and say, wait, you ain't talking like you in favor of Nevis, this and that. No, I'm talking in fairness. It cannot be fair, it cannot be right. A prime minister can only come from Nevis. If one, the people in Nevis decide they're going to run politicians in St. Kitts, where they can get 6 seats of their own. Other than that, they have to form a coalition with St. Kitts. St. Kitts don't have to form a coalition with Nevis. How can that be right and fair?
No.
Okay, hold on. Let me say something. Let me say something here.
Let Jay correct me first. Yeah, and then,
okay.
Let Jay correct me first. Go ahead, Jay.
There are 11 constituencies in the government of St.
Yes.
Kitts and Nevis. Let's get that straight. If one party decide they're only going to run 3 seats on the island of Nevis, and one party decide they're only going to run 8 seats on the party of St. Kitts, that is on the party. Nothing is in the constitution that says NRP cannot run 11 seats. Okay?
I said that just now.
We just said that. No.
But I just said
we
that. I said
get,
that, Jay.
As a party, NRP, CCM, Labour, we have to get away from this idea that you should only be running on your island. Okay? the Democrat and the Republican
Party
have...
Take it. Let's debate it. We only have 10 minutes. So we can debate it rather than you take 5 minutes to talk it. That is disadvantage Nevis if they have to go down to St. Kitts and still concentrate on Nevis.
No.
That's disadvantage.
No.
Hold on.
So
let me say something here.
You have to have a message.
Okay,
what is your message?
Let me say something here. I mentioned earlier the term culture. But let me get back to the concept of federation. We've been running on that term. We've been running empty on that term, federation.
But it's not a federation.
And it is not a federation. I've been telling people that from the beginning. This is not a federation. You understand? That's the first thing. Second thing, as Jay just said, there's nothing that prevents CCM or NRP to contest 11 seats in the federal election, or what is called the federal election. Nothing. But there's a culture. You guys are forgetting how important culture is in all this. It does not stand out there by itself. Culture does not stand out there by itself until you're ready to talk about it. It has influence on every aspect of our lives. Traditionally, a certain cultural tradition has been set up in the politics of St. Kitts and Nevis. And to say now that you're going to just all of a sudden change the tradition, it's not going to happen. Tradition can only change incrementally over a period of time. You understand? So what we are working with and what we want to achieve are completely sometimes contradictory. Yeah, of course, there's nothing in the Constitution that says CCM or NRP or CCM can't run 8 candidates in St. Kitts and 3 over in Nevis. There's nothing that says that. But constitutions do not counteract the minds of people. Constitutions are representations that you can use at your convenience. And we see that. We see that in terms of the United States.
So we can debate. Do it quickly. When we take long like this, we don't get in enough.
What we are talking about is a whole battery of cultural changes that would bring us to this point. That ain't going to happen in a minute.
Okay, let me cut in quickly. Let me tell you why it's not going to work. Let me tell you what I hear with my own 2 years. Virgil Brown won an NRP ticket. Virgil Brown, Captain Nevis, cricket team, play for Leeward Island. And Matt Wantley, I heard him talking about Virgil Brown. And here is his words when Virgil was running against Alexi. And who he be? And where he come from? And a 36 square mile, he saying, who he be? I just heard Eric Evelyn wondering who this guy is who running against him. He come from somewhere way over there in Jessup. Can't even vote over here for himself because he's not in this constituency. Oh, who he be? What do you think you're going to get done in St. Kitts in St. Paul's? Who going to know anything about these people? So are we talking here about nothing in the Constitution say? It cannot be an advantage to them running 8 seats in St. Kitts. Because if you don't know who a man be in Nevis, who represented Nevis playing cricket, and you're selling that to the people, and tell them, I don't know him. Janice, who is the premier, the first premier of Nevis' daughter, they're asking who she be. All because she worked in the U.S. Virgin Islands. And they sold that to some, they may not call the word on the radio. Is that fit for purpose? And they bang into those things as if she's an alien. Who she be? They cannot get them to think it's the one. Let us be realistic and expect they can sell themselves to politicians. When in need, you tell me, they're calling on one another. They're doing that right in need. They don't run on substance,
like
these politicians.
Like I just said,
Iva,
that is the culture of political expression in Saint-Kitts Nevis. Culture.
All over. Not only in Saint-Kitts Nevis, but it's worse.
Exactly.
And Poor Island.
Exactly.
But let's,
exactly.
Minutes, let me ask a
and
question
unless people understand
to Jay,
that.
Because Daryl,
yes.
Nevis has clause
no.
113. CCM has tried with a tri-party. They were begging hard to try with one party that they call the sister party in St. Kitts. They only got one seat. They were in a party where they had clout. They had three seats more than the prime minister who had two. And what is happening here is that they're now at the crossroads. They were in there getting over $400 million. Did not document anything saying, like the charts on the card, saying what they should get from that. But here is him with word of mouth saying, I'm going to get more from PAM because we will form the government. PAM lost the government. Where do we go from here now? Only to go down thinking to cut off Labour when you go in the House of Parliament and again say, fair share, fair share? Somebody can answer that in 2 minutes. We're getting ready to close.
Well, this is my thing. You talk about culture, and I'm talking about education, okay? Strategy to educate the population about how the government works. That is not widely accepted or widely known knowledge. You know, is a mystery to a lot of people. Is a black box. Government and its operations is a black box to many people. Whoever wants to win in St. Kitts and Nevis has to be able to open up that box and demystify the whole situation. Okay? Now, Joseph N. France, who became a very popular politician in St. Kitts, he was from Fountain. So, a lot of people who are in St. Kitts originally came from Nevis. There are a lot of divisions in St. Kitts. Okay? Now, if you want to go just based on cultural lines, then you're going to have a problem. Yes, I understand what you're saying. But if you can articulate a vision that makes it more inclusive for your party to capture those minds, I think that there is hope for whoever can get that done. But the information has to be in bite sizes, very simple sizes. For instance, okay, that St. Kitts does not have a government, and Nevis does. A lot of people don't know that because there is a unit. It's a unitary state. We need to start educating the population to understand what that really means. And it's just like what you said. Clause 113 gives Nevis a certain amount of autonomy, but it does not give St. Kitts the requisite autonomy to cut off Nevis if they wanted. So the best way I see forward is to have a educated population so that they understand what they're doing. Because right now, the people of Nevis put back three guys in office who brought down the government. I mean, this is the craziness, you know. This is what we're dealing with.
You know, I'm telling you,
you know,
really crazy.
You have a group of guys
together,
who got together and say, we're going to bring down the government because we don't like what the government is doing. And then now they're crying and shouting from the outside saying, look, they're not sharing with us anymore. I mean, it's ludicrous.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep, yep, yep.
And guess what?
Yep.
This coalition that just broke up, one of those politicians from Nevis could have been the prime minister if they had demanded it. Because you had the one guy that won one seat, he became prime minister.
Yep.
Where in the world
yep.
is this possible? I've never seen this in any government anywhere in the world where one person win one seat and they
now,
become the head of the
happened.
Government.
It has happened. Anna Robinson from Tobago would have done that. It has happened. But you know, that's when you're bargaining with maybe the 4-4 seat, but they didn't have no 4-4 seat, so I agree with you with that. They didn't have no
but
tie up with Vance, could have gone in with and say, well,
exactly.
I'm going to break a tie, like what happened in 93. But here's where you're right, absolutely right. you'll have a clear majority and one man coming with one seat before anything. He didn't have to. He didn't hold the cards. He did not. He didn't have the balance of power. They just get up and gave him. And on a second occasion too, when he didn't have the balance
exactly.
of power. But anyway, it was a healthy discussion, folks. We are coming close to the end. Let me give an update. It is 76-2 into over number 8. So the boat openers have departed, and they went in quick succession too. So Al-Zahri Joseph 1, Hussein 1. That's what the scorecard is saying in terms of bowling. So they would have used up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bowlers so far. 1, 2, 3, 4. No, 5 bowlers. The hole is now coming on here to bowl. It's still a 2020 encounter. And that's what we have here for you. It's going to be a high-scoring match, it seems like, unless they make some inroads into taking wickets. You got to close it out, Cardinal. So you can do the honors and do that as you come to the end of yet another Saturday morning entertainment show. Take it away.
Yes, it was entertaining. You know, we got to the final count of Ivo's favorite game, the politics of St. Kitts and Nevis. But whatever it is, we hope that you enjoy the presentation that we offered you today, and we look forward to doing this again next week. Enjoy the sunshine, enjoy the rain, whichever way it comes. There's always room
yes.
for all of us.
Yes,
something to enjoy.
Well, folks, be sure to join the Heavyweights tomorrow on the cricket show. That comes up from 6 until 9. We had Sporting Brief here as usual on Saturday, but we're going to have it summarized for you tomorrow. And by the end of tomorrow, India and West Indies would have completed the tour, so they should have some good news. So we want to thank Jay for coming through here to really lend his voice to the morning show. Jay, we're here every Saturday morning from 9 until high noon. You're welcome. Anytime, bookmark the number. And we have, not just politics. We talk just about every and anything on here when it comes to Saturday, especially in the last hour when we have an open line type. So, folks, until I say tomorrow when we can speak some cricket on the cricket show, we'll be back here next Saturday from 9 until 12. And let me say a big, big up thank you to Cardinal this morning for his selections in terms of the musical selection and for holding the fourth, fifth, and sixth, especially when I had a very important call there and he just filled in the boots. He said he came with his own boots and he put them on over my boots since my boots was kind of big to fill. So, in other words, he came prepared. Folks, that's all we're going to have. We want to say hi to Mertris, Lynette, our audience listeners. Make it a great day, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
Today be the best of your day. All right, folks.